this morning? Come on, it's an exciting time. I'm excited. I'm pumped up today. If you're our guest this morning, this is your first time, you may be wondering what's going on and what this crazy guy's doing this morning. We sit back, enjoy, join in with us, and have fun with us. For some of us have been working for 40 days, all right? Anybody? 40 days worth of devotions, 40 days worth of work. Just so you guys know, I've been working on this since May, the first week in May when I picked the book up, all right? So I've been working on it for like 7 months. And I'm excited today. Today we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Today we're going to share a meal that Jesus himself instituted. We're painting a picture of what Jesus did. But what we did in these last 40 days is we took God's word real serious. You know, through Paul wrote these words here. If you got your little outline, let me encourage you to get your outline out. You can follow along there. God wrote these through the Apostle Paul to a church that was struggling with what we're sharing this morning. He said this, "A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." That before you come and share in this meal, we needed to have some time with God ourselves, to spend some time with God. And for some of us, this may be just a few moments you're going to have this morning. Prepare. For others of you, you've been working on this for 40 days and 28 days worth of devotional. And you've given your time and you've given your study and you've invested yourself in preparing. We've taken what God says seriously. Now, if I'm talking fast this morning, blame the donuts. I only had three. All right? I told the worship team, sing slow so I could get another one down. I did get one while you guys were in here. Yeah? And so I'm going to have to slow down. I got this sugar high going. Yeah? But I want us to take seriously God's word. You know, I've shared with you my passion of the Lord's Supper and why I take it so serious, because we're gathered here this morning. I want to tell you something. Every Sunday when you come to church, you're not the only one here. Jesus is here. The presence of God is here. The problem is we don't see him, right? I mean, I don't know about you. I've never seen Jesus. Like, you know, I got pictures of what they think he looked like, but I've never seen Jesus, and I'm really in no see him either, all right? You know? But this morning, we do get to see Jesus. We have the unleavened bread and the grape juice to paint us a picture of Jesus, to show us what Jesus looks like. But some of you have been in this journey and you have been challenged. And maybe you've been a little uncomfortable because, you know, as we take the Lord's Supper, it says examine ourselves. And sometimes when I look into myself, it's not always good. You know, there's things in our life that aren't right. There's things in our life that weigh on us, that's a burden. There's things in our life that we can call sin. Anybody? You know, there's messes in our life. I don't know about you, but sometimes we have messy lives. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. I mean, we have messy lives. You know, and for that, we have broken relationships. Maybe we've been hurt by somebody, or maybe somebody has hurt us, and we got broken relationships. And yet when we read God's word, it says, come to the Lord's table, we're supposed to examine ourselves. And it's like, how do I do this? And so what I've been trying to do, and what my passion has been, is that I've had these words. I wanted you to come, be renewed, refreshed, and blessed by the presence of God. Some of you have heard that for the last 7 weeks, right? Yeah. Because that's what I wanted you to come, and I wanted you to experience something. My prayer has been that today would be a day for some of us, like the day I remember I accepted Jesus Christ. I got to see my cousin Linda. Laura took a picture. Linda's the one that, those who have been here for a while, Linda's the one that shared with me the message of Jesus Christ and prayed with me the prayer that when I accepted Christ. And I got to see her yesterday. She was at my brother's funeral, and I talked with her yesterday, and my wife took a picture with her. And we still look young, okay? Yeah. I still think of her as that little, she was younger than me. You know, and special. But I want it to be a day like that I can remember sitting around that dining room table and sitting there and her sharing me about Jesus. I want this day to be like that. I want this day to be like the day I was baptized. You know, I remember that day. It's burned in my mind, that day when there was 13 of us. I remember the corner room. I remember getting ready. They had all, that's when they used the robes. Anybody remember choir robes in a church? They had all the choir robes. I was in the choir robe room. They had all the choir robes, and There's 13 of us. I think there's like 7 guys and 6 girls that got baptized that day. We had just had a revival. And I say, I want this day to be something that, you know, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, you look back on it and say, you know what? That was a time when, yes, God did show up. Now, I like this verse here. Look at what it says. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. James 4:8. See, draw near to God. That's what, for the last 40 days, I've been encouraging us to just step closer to God. Step closer to God. And draw near to God. You know, I wanted this to be kind of a faith-forming spiritual experience that you can just treasure for years to come. And you know that God was there, and that you know that God is in you, and that you know that God has something in store for you because you experienced something today. That's my prayer. It's my desire for you. But maybe you grew up in some different traditions. And so this morning, what I wanted to do is, if you read the book, it says, Come to the Lord's Table, was the title of the book. And really, it's Come to the Lord's Table. The Lord's Table's the Lord's Supper. That's what I went to a Church of Christ church, and they had the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Yeah. And then I went to the Baptist church, and they had it the first Sunday of every quarter. And then I become a pastor, and I have it whenever I want. You know, I always wanted it during significant times. We took it at New Year's. We've taken it on Easter. We've taken it on, like, Thanksgiving. I've always been trying to take it around Thanksgiving, and you'll see why. Because it's a special time. But I always grew up calling it the Lord's Supper. But some of you maybe have a tradition, and one of the kids passed the paper to me a little while ago, called it communion. Anybody remember communion? Anybody remember they're called communion? You know, so it was called communion, and maybe you have a tradition where you grew up in an experience where it was called a Eucharist. Anybody remember, anybody ever hear that word, Eucharist? Anybody hear that word? Well, why did we call it those names? You know, why were those names associated with what we share here at the Lord's table? And so what I thought this morning we would do is we'll just look at the names and see what those names communicate, because I'm going to tell you something. Those names communicate something about the supper. They just didn't name it. That it was something about the supper that it says. So I want to look at this. So I'm going to look at the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to look at the story as Luke recounted the story of the Lord's Supper as he shared it. I'm going to share that with you, but then when we share the Lord's Supper, I'm going to read Matthew's version. So you're going to get both of them today, Matthew and Luke's version of the Lord's Supper. But as we talk about the Lord's Supper, what I needed to do as we did this is we got to back up before the upper room, before they even get to the upper room, before they arrive in the upper room. There's a story going on that I wanted you to see, and I wanted you to, again, follow along in your outline. It's Luke chapter 22, verses 7 and 8. Then came the day of unleavened bread. This is the Passover, in which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare the place for us that we may eat it. Jesus is saying, okay, we're going to share the Passover. We're going to have that Lord's Supper. He's going to institute it during that Passover. He's going to use the Lord's Supper during the Passover. So he is saying, to prepare. Jesus, here's what I want you to write. Jesus is the host. He is the gracious host. You get the picture? That Jesus is the one organizing this. Jesus is the one setting the table. It is Jesus who is inviting us to this table. He's inviting us to his presence. You get the picture? And so the Lord's Supper is really about a meal. It's a dinner. That word supper in the Greek was dinner, meal. He's saying, come to the Lord's meal. Come to the Lord's dinner. He has invited us as a gracious host. And I wanted us to think about that for a minute. What does it mean when Jesus invites us as a gracious host? And maybe somewhere you want to write this word in there. You have grace. I don't want to make the word really plain. How about the word grace? Just real simple, grace. Jesus is a host. And he invites us by his grace. These guys needed to go and prepare the place. Organize the food, create the room, get everything ready for them to have the Lord's Supper. But Jesus is ultimately the host. I've set the table. I've poured all this. I've cut all this up. I did all this. But you know who the host is? Now, I put the elements here. But you know who set the table? Jesus. When he died on the cross. You get the picture? And so we celebrate the Lord's Supper because he is a gracious host. It is what he has done for us. I don't earn a right to sit at the table. Well, I'm a good Christian. I'm a pastor.
so I should get the first seat, right? I get the seat next to Jesus. Don't work that way, does it? He is the gracious host. Do I deserve to be here? You want to know the truth? I don't. I don't. The only reason I can approach this table, because of his grace. Because he paid the price. And he invited me. Invited me, a sinner. Oh, man. I like this passage here. This is a good verse to memorize. If you're a Christian, you should memorize this. If you're not a Christian, you need to pay it. How's that? Look at what it says. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord might be saved. Oh, will be saved. All right. That's why I love that verse. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be. If you're a Christian, you need to know this. You are safe in God's hands. I'm going to tell you who's got your hand. God does. You are not hanging on to God. I'm going to cling to God. I'm going to tell you, let go. All right? He'll hold your hand. You ever walk with your kids? You know, I had little kids, and I got my grandkids, and my little Matthew was walking with me yesterday, and he was hanging on to my fingers. But I reached around and grabbed his hand as he hung on to my fingers. Because, you know, if he slips and falls, if I got his hand, what's he going to do? Is he going to hit the ground? No, he ain't going to hit the ground. Because if he slips and falls, I'm going to go like that. Yeah, it's only 30 pounds. I can pick that up. Huh? See, God has our, it's his grace. So when I slip and fall, who's picking me up? You know? See, it's his grace that brings me to the table. And so if you're not a Christian, you need to say, hey, I come. I like this next verse. Look at what it says. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. That's grace. We often, you know, I don't know, but anybody here know John 3:16? For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have the everlasting life. That's grace, right? Did I get it right? All right. Sometimes I miss it. Yeah. Or how about Ephesians 2, 8 and 9? Anybody familiar with that one? For by grace are you saved through faith. That is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's grace. But I like this verse because it's saying, it paints that picture of grace. I was still messed up. While I was still messing up, Jesus died for me. He didn't say, okay, Gary, go take a shower, clean yourself up, and come on in, and I'll take care of you. Is that what he said? No. It's God's grace. See, we're invited to the Lord's table because he's a gracious host. He invites us to the table. Not because we're perfect. Not because we've earned the right. Well, I've been a Christian. I had a good week this week. I only said 4 bad words and, you know, I only hit, now I'm not going to say I only hit my wife. That's not good. Don't even play that one. No, it's we don't play that game. You know, I won the golden ticket. I get to go to the Lord's table. You know, I open that candy bar. Anybody know that movie? All right, you guys are with me there. You know, I didn't win the golden ticket. You know, you don't get it because you won a golden ticket. You go because he's a gracious host. It's the Lord's table. He's invited us to that table. And here's the only thing he asks. I like what David says here. Look at this, Psalms 51. Some of us read this earlier. You guys missed the early service. You missed the blessing. You have to rub it in. The sacrifice God wants is a broken spirit. Circle those. Circle that. God will not reject a heart that is broken and sorry for sin. Isn't that a... God doesn't say, come and be perfect, then you're welcome. Come and do everything right. He says, come broken. See, let me give you a picture. As I read this, let me tell you a picture that came to my mind. A cracked glass. A glass that had a crack. You know, you fill it up, and what happens? It leaks, right? And so you got to fill it up. I'm a cracked glass. You know? I need God to put more grace in. I need God to put more grace in every day. Anybody? You know, I need God's grace. And it's not, well, I was saved and he gave me the grace. I'm going to tell you what, God's got to give me grace this afternoon too. And tonight,
and tomorrow and the next day. I need God's grace. See, that's what God wants. And so when we come to the Lord's table, we can call it the Lord's Supper because He is our gracious host. Is that okay? We're going to share the Lord's Supper today because He's invited us by His grace. You know how I say this as your pastor over and over again? I make it as plain as I can. Everybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ is invited to the table. And how do you know you're a believer? You said something along this line. Anybody with me? Some of you have been here many times. You know how this phrase goes. God, I'm tired of doing my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. A Christian isn't someone, I'm perfect. I'm a good person. I try hard. I work hard. A Christian is someone who's reached a point in their life where they know they can't do it. In their life, they look at their life and they're going, it's not where I want to be. I'm not who I want to be. I'm not going where I want to go. I want something different in life, and I can't do that on my own. God's help. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. This is your way right here, God. I'm going to do it your way. Come into my life and take control. I did that at 17 years old. I really enjoyed seeing Linda. I gave her a big old hug. Tell her how much I appreciate. She changed my life because she had the courage to tell me about Jesus. And I want to be the one to change your life. If you don't know Him, you're invited to the table today. I've never crashed a party. Well, maybe I have. I shouldn't say that. You have to crash the party today. If you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus, you can do it. Just right where you're at. You don't have to come and walk up here and say, Gary, right where you're, just simply say, God, I'm tired of doing things my way, man. I just can't get the handle on this, God. I want to do it your way. Put my life and take control. It's His grace. You don't have to be a party crasher. You're invited this morning to share this. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know the King James Version. I know I'd be saved here. But I know the King James shall be. Not might be. Not come and see. Let me tell you, I know I'm going to heaven. I know there's going to be a day when I cease to live. When I die, there's going to be a day. Hopefully, long ways in the future, okay? But I know where I'm going. I have no doubt. Not because I'm good and not because I'm Gary, or just for you guys know, I am Gary the Great. That's what the kids call me around here. Not because of anything like that. I know I'm going to heaven because Jesus told me so. Right there. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I got that assurance. I want to challenge you this morning. We call it Lord's Supper. Because you're invited. The gracious host, Jesus Christ, says, come and partake. Is that what He says? It's His grace. You didn't earn it. You deserve it. You're not worthy. I'm going to tell you right now, if you think you're worthy, you're in trouble. It says, broken spirit. Didn't you circle that? That's what He's asking for this morning. So let's call it the Lord's Supper because we have a gracious host. What about communion? Why do we call it communion? We have this word communion, and what does that all mean? And like I said, I've heard it called communion. So we read on in Luke, and we kind of go down, Peter and John had went and set the place all up. They got everything all ready. They had to get mats on the floor. See, we get a picture of a table. Who's that artist that painted that picture? Da Vinci, is that it? Is that who painted the Lord's Supper? Somebody help me out there. All right. He painted that picture sitting at a table. They're all lined up. That's not how it was, okay? They're probably sitting on the floor, sitting on mats. I kind of picture, during the summer, we took our grandkids over to San Francisco, and we went to the beach, Baker's Beach. Took a couple of beach blankets and threw them on the ground and sat on the ground. I'm going to tell you, it's sandwiches with sand in them. Kids don't sit still. And so we sat there on the ground. Well, that's kind of what they were doing. They were sitting there eating the Lord's eating dinner. Here's what it says, Luke 22:14. And when the hour came, He reclined at the table. And again, it might be a little table on the ground, just a little thing there. And the apostles with Him. So I take this as a picture. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, we sat around the dinner table. Anybody ever sit around the dinner table anymore? And we'd have conversation. What happened today? How did it go? What's going on? What are you doing tomorrow? And I could see the apostles and Jesus sitting around having this conversation, communicating, sharing, talking. Did you see what happened today? Did you hear what Jesus came in last week and they were throwing those palm branches on the ground?
I could see them having these conversations about what was going on and what was happening and talking to Jesus. And in the midst of that conversation, he shares the Lord's Supper. And so I wrote it this way, if you look at your outline, let's call it communion because this moment we commune with Jesus and one another. They're having a communion. They're fellowshipping together. You know, the Greek has a word. If you want to write this, I can't spell it for you because I can't. It's called koinonia. And it's that Greek word for fellowship. It's not like, well, we're friends. No, it's a deep fellowship. I was going to quote Jesus on this, but I decided I'm going to quote Jesus, but I'm going to quote Jesus quoting somebody else. See, we often look at the Bible and say, well, you read the Bible and you see a God of wrath in the New Testament and a God of love in the New, and a God of wrath in the Old Testament and a God of love in the New Testament. Anybody ever read the Bible and think about that? You know, you read about all the wars and sacrificing all the lambs and the goats and doves and doing all that, and that God was very wrathful in the Old Testament. Then you come to the New and it's love. Well, it's not true. God has always been a God of love. It's always been love. You know, Jesus comes along. Remember the guy came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest law? You know, what's the most important commandment? What is the thing we need to know the most and do the most? Which one of those? You know, God gave 10 commandments, right? You guys up with that one? Anybody? 10 of them, right? All right. Then the Jews' rabbis helped him out because he didn't have them all down, so they added several more, so there's 613 for them. You know, it wasn't good enough to have 10. I always find it amazing. Just so you get me my picture, I had my Awana group. In the beginning, God created. Come on, guys, kids in my Awana. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? You guys know that one. He put them in a garden. Gave them one commandment. One. And they couldn't even do one. Don't mess with that tree. That was it. Everything is yours but that one. And they couldn't even get one thing right. And then we come along and we get 10. And then the Jews and others help them out and get 613. And then we as parents add another 700 of them, right? As parents, come on, we've got to have rules in the house. You know? And we create all these rules. And God says, when Jesus was saying, there's just basically two things. Jesus said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, and all thy soul. And the second is like, love thy neighbor as thyself. But here's what you might not know. He was God out of the Old Testament. So I gave you those verses. I wanted you to see that. God hasn't changed. God is still the God of love. He was always wanting to love him. Here's the key. You know why God's the God of love in the New Testament? Because the price of sin was paid with Jesus Christ. Jesus took the wrath. That's why the New Testament is so much joy and peace. Jesus took the wrath. That's what we're here for. He took the price of sin. But look in the Old Testament. Here's what it says. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. Jesus was just quoting the Old Testament. Now you go to that wonderful book called Leviticus. Really a good book in the Old Testament that will put you to sleep real quick, all right? You got insomnia? Read the book of Leviticus. It won't take long to fall asleep. It's a bunch of laws and rules and don't eat this and watch this kind of stuff. You know, it tells you what not to eat. You know, we got the notice the other day, I don't know about you, but we're not supposed to eat crab out of the Pacific Ocean right now. Anybody watch that news? You know, well, God kind of had those rules in the Old Testament. But look at what it says here in the middle of that. That you shall love your neighbor as yourself, I am the Lord. Isn't it interesting how the God of the New Testament sounds a lot like the God of the Old Testament? He's still the same God. See, we commune with God. We have this relationship. We have a love relationship with God. It's a relationship that we live in, and it's a communion. It's a fellowship that we have. And that's what he's challenged us with. And look at what it says here in 1 John 4:19. We love him because he first loved us. We loved him because he first loved us. See, we come to the Lord's table because we're in a wonderful relationship with Jesus Christ. We're communing with him. We're talking with him. We're visiting with him. But not just with him, but with one another. That's why in your 40-day study, some of you had to make some phone calls. Anybody? Don't raise your hand. We don't want to do that in here right now. But some of you probably had to make some phone calls to
to fix some broken relationships. Am I right? You had to reach out, and somebody had hurt you. This, again, just so you get the picture, some of you that weren't involved in the study during the few weeks, God's word is wonderful here. If you've hurt somebody, the Bible says you get up and you go make it right. See, if you've hurt somebody, you offended somebody, you get up and you go make it right. But if somebody has hurt you, you forgive them right now. Now, we've preached on this, so I'm not going to go over this. It doesn't mean everything goes back, oh, that never happened. When you forgive, it doesn't mean, well, you have to act like it never happened. That's not what God's forgiveness means. And I spoke on that. You want an idea, go back and listen to one of the past sermons. They're on the internet, right? They're going to be on the internet. And it's up there. You can figure that one out. But see, we're in this relationship with God. Look at what he says here again in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. See, we come to the Lord's table, we're fellowshipping with one another, and we're with Jesus. So we can call it communion, because we're in communion with Jesus and one another. We call it Lord's Supper because he is our gracious host. But why do we call it Eucharist? What's that? Where is that name come from? And what does that name have to do with it? Okay, let's read on. We'll just read on in the Gospel of Luke as he does the Lord's Supper. And here's what it says. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. And the verse goes on, and I didn't want to read all of that verse, but we go on down to the next verse. It says this. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see those words, give thanks? Maybe you want to circle those words. It's twice there in that very first part. Give thanks. He gave thanks. And then later on it says he gave thanks. That is the word in Greek. I'm not going to try to pronounce it, but it means Eucharist, okay? I had Greek in school. I know the words, but I have a hard time. I can even hardly say English sometimes. Some of you guys are going to go, yeah, we know. It's hard when you have English scholars in your church. It's just, But that's what give thanks means. And so we can call it Eucharist because we're going to give thanks to God. Just as he gave thanks. We're going to give God. That's why I like taking it at Thanksgiving. See, that Greek word means thanksgiving. That Greek word means gratitude. And so we can call it the Eucharist because we are giving thanksgiving. So see, the names mean something. The names carry something with them. It has something to say about this. Look at what it says here in Ephesians 5:20. Give thanks always for everything to God and the Father. God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks for everything. As I wrote that, here's what I thought about. I thought about me. I thought about my life. Everything I have is a gift from God. You know what I deserve? Some of you hear me. The Bible says be content. I can tell you how I find contentment. Because everything's a gift. I deserve nothing. I go back over my life. My car, I need a car. My car had broken down. I needed a car. I didn't have money. I paid $2,000 for a car that had 40,000 miles on it. I walk up here to the lot out here on the corner up here by the freeway. And they want like $6,000 for a car with 150,000 miles on it. That's a gift from God, guys. That's a gift from God. I break my camera. Anybody ever break a camera? I don't know how it broke. Then I tore it apart and I can't put it back together. I did. I took it all apart and I can't put it back together. I needed a new camera. Somebody gave me a camera. A $700 camera. I like that. But I just go on and on. I've got bills that I didn't know how I was going to pay. Anybody? I got bills I didn't know. Laura, we're in trouble. Then all of a sudden you open the mailbox. And there's a check that you, where did that come from? It's not the IRS. They want theirs. They don't give too much. But I just go on. How many of us could give testimony like God has blessed us just over and over and over? Everything I have is a blessing from God. Then I went on as I started thinking, everything I am is a blessing from God.
You know, I'm here standing before you, and I laugh about this all the time. I mean, this is, to me, is funny. Because I'm a kid who hated school. All right, now, some of you little kids, don't listen to me. Tune your ears off, okay? Some of you parents, put your hands over your kids' ears. Because I would cut school. Anybody? Take my fishing pole and go down to the Sacramento River. Woo-hoo, I'm going to have fun. You know? I just couldn't wait to get through school. I mean, I hated school. Well, when I turned 17, I accepted Christ. And then after a while, I felt God call me to the ministry. You know what? I love school now. So much, it took me 3 years to finish junior college. 2 years to finish college. 3 years to get a master. And then 10 years later, go back and spend 2 more years to get a doctorate degree. Now, who changed me? Who made me different? God did. You know, I love reading. I can sit in front of my computer for hours and read and research. Who changed all that? I think I am. I look at my wife. Who gave me my wife? I got my wife at church. I met her at church. You know? I go yesterday to my brother's funeral, and my kids are there, and my grandkids, and guess where they're at? They're all in church now. I'm blessed. Everything I have and everything I am, I get to do a job I love. How many of you guys got to go to a job you hate? I get a job I love. You know, I love you guys. I have a great time. Now, am I always happy? No. You know, do some of you push my button? Yes. But I love you anyway. You know? How can all that happen? Because of Him. I give God thanks all the time. I've had a great life. We did my brother's service yesterday, and they talked about his life. And just so you know, my one brother commits suicide at 39. This brother dies at 58. I'm the oldest. You know the difference in life? It's real simple. I made a choice of Jesus Christ at 17, and they didn't. I give God the glory for all that. It's like, God, I'm having a great ride. Now, just so you know, everything is not going great, all right? I'm always afraid when I preach that you think, well, look, everything's going so good for Gary. It ain't, okay? I could tell you tons of things that are wrong, you know? And if Laura got up here, she'd say number one thing wrong is Gary, all right? You know? But I'm going to enjoy the ride. Life can be tough. And I'm going to tell you sometimes, maybe this shouldn't say the word, but I'm going to tell you, sometimes life sucks. What was that movie? I'm trying to think his name. I mean, I'm just going to tell you the name, and it just went out of my mind. Stinks. Anybody see that movie? I can't remember the guy who... Mel Brooks, Life Stinks. You know? Anybody ever feel like that? I do sometimes. But you know what? God is so good. God is so good. I tell you guys, I tell you all the time, I'll come in on Monday morning whining and complaining and saying, I go into the prayer room whining and complaining over here, and I'm down on my knees talking to God, and pretty soon it's like, oh, I'm so blessed. You know, because I start praying for my kids, and I am very at my kids. Anybody? You know, I'm going to tell you that. As a parent, you know the greatest burden is kids. Anybody? You know? I'm going to tell you, parents, anybody that doesn't have a kid yet, let me give you a hint. I'm going to tell you something. Take this with you. When you grow up, if you realize this. Anybody that tells you when the kid is 18 you don't worry about it anymore, they're lying to you. Because I'm going to tell you, you worry more after they turn 18. Because they're out of your control. You still want to slap them around. You know? Because you love them. You know? You still burden for them. And so when they're doing right, man, you're sitting there, thank you, Jesus. My life may suck, but my kids are doing good. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah! Everything I am and everything I have is God. I give thanks. It's Thanksgiving. I can't wait till Thursday. I get to go up and see my aunts and my uncle and my cousins. And it's exciting and it's fun to be with family. Well, you know what? That's today. Today is our Thanksgiving. Today is our family. Today's our time together at the table. See, we can call it Eucharist because it's a thanksgiving. And we're giving thanks. Look at what it says here in God's Word. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. I'm just thinking, God, He's God and I'm not. You need to know that. And you guys better be thankful for that too. Because you wouldn't want me to be God either. How about Psalms 103:1? I had a professor at Cal Baptist when I was going down there. He was 70-some-odd years old then. Wonderful, wonderful, godly man I enjoyed tremendously. Every day he'd walk into class and he'd say these words, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that was within me, bless His holy name." That's what this is about. Time to give thanks and bless the Lord. So I want to challenge us this morning. We're coming to the Lord's table. We've prepared. We're ready. We're going to spend time with Him this morning. And we're going to share the Lord's Supper. And we're going to call it Lord's Supper because He's invited us. We've crossed that invisible line. God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them Yours. Come into my life and take control. And we've stepped a climb. By His grace, by His mercy, He has saved us. And we call it Lord's Supper. We call it communion because we're going to sit here and we're going to be with one another and we're going to be with Him. That's just His presence. He's here. He's here. Look, He's here. His body, His blood. We're in communion with Him and with one another. We'll call it communion. And we'll call it the Eucharist because we're going to give Him thanks as we share. And we're going to praise His name and bless Him because He has blessed us. And so I close with these. It says, Luke 22:19, do this in remembrance of me. See, we're invited. We're invited to come, remember, and receive. And I want us to do that this morning. So here's what we're going to do. Kind of let me give you a little outline of what we're going to do. We're just going to sit here for just a few moments, and we're just going to kind of bow our heads, and we're going to just spend a few moments with God. So we did that for a while this morning, right? Some of us already spent some time doing it. We're just going to, I'm not going to take long, just a very few minutes. And then I'm going to ask you, we're going to have some music playing, and when you're ready, I want you to get up from your seat, and you come and grab a cup of grape juice. It's not fermented, so it's not wine. It's grape juice and a piece of unleavened bread. And go back. Don't drink it then and don't eat it then. Go back to your seat. And then after everybody's came and got what they're ready to go and ready to share, then we'll share it together. And I'll read scripture and we'll share. Does that sound okay? And so let's just bow our heads for a few moments. And I'll pray. And then I'm going to have Stephen play some music while you spend some time and you get ready to come. Lord, I just thank You for Your love, for Your care. Thank You for being that gracious host. We don't deserve it. We haven't earned this, Lord, but Jesus paid the price. And we can join Him and remember Him at this table. Speak to Him as we share this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Steve is going to play some music. And when you're ready, you come and take a piece of the bread, take a cup, and go back to your seat. And then we'll share it together as I read God's Word. So let's go ahead and start the music. You come as God leads.
Each word that You say. each moment this day. Remember,
come as the Spirit leads. Come. You're invited. The grace of God invites you. Come.
His cross he bears for us. His tender prayer for us. Remember me. He kneels to cry for us. He goes to die for us. With this reply, us. Remember me.
Come, you're not saying you're perfect. You're saying you're forgiven. You're broken. His broken heart. You're broken for him. You come. Anyone else? Again, I'm inviting you not because of me, but because of his grace, his mercy. You're his child. You come. Gospel of Matthew account where Jesus gathered with his disciples in the upper room and he shared with them. And after eating the meal, he said it did this. And while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks. Let us pray. Lord, we give you thanks. We see this bread as representative of the body that was nailed to the cross. We see this bread as your presence here in this place. We bread as a symbol of your presence in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. In your name. Amen. He broke it, gave it to them, and said, take ye, this is my body. He goes on with these words. Then he took the cup, gave thanks. Let us pray. Lord, this is a representation of the blood of your Son, Jesus. The blood that sets us free. The blood that covers our sins. The blood that was shed for us. Lord, I thank you. That though unworthy, and though still a sinner, grace more abounds. Your love is real. Your peace is
true. You are our
Jesus. He offered to them, saying, drink from it, all of you.
Remember me.
This is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now to the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Keep this. Put this somewhere this week. Make this a reminder. For some of you, it's a reminder of 40 days. For some of you, maybe 28 days. For some of you, it may be a reminder of today. That it's been my prayer through this study. That this would be a time that you remember. Like the day you crossed that invisible line. Like the day you were baptized. The day when you spent 40 days getting ready to spend with you. That's been my prayer. Renewed, refreshed, and blessed. I'm going to go ahead and invite our worship team back up to the stage as they come. We are going to take an offering. It's church. You know, but again, if you're our guest this morning, listen, the offering is for members and attenders of our regular attenders of our church who want to support the ministers of our church. If you're our guest, enjoy the service. Enjoy the time with us. We're glad you're with us. Don't feel the offering is an opportunity, not an obligation. Even for our church people, it's still an opportunity. It's an opportunity to give back a portion of what God has blessed us with. And just so you guys know, we had our finance meeting and our church. We're meeting our budget, guys. You guys are awesome. You're very generous people. God is paying all our bills, and I'm able to have some money, and God's paying my bills, and we're having a good time. So I want to say thank you, and you're a generous people. Next week, we'll pass out our budget for the new year so you get an idea of what we're doing. The budget of this church has never been a secret. It's always, there it is. And Linda Maselli over here, Martha and Ron are our trustees of our church who monitor the budget, just so you know. I never touch a thing. I've tried that stuff. And God is good. So I want to thank you. But if you're our guest this morning, don't worry about it. If you're a regular attender, well, you do what God led you guys to do. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I just thank you for who you are and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to have our ushers come forward.